Hello, everybody. Can I speak? Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Do you want to hear me? That's just a joke. Good evening, Koine Greek students tonight. We are going to study some Koine Greek this evening. And I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we pray that we might understand who we are in you always, every waking second of our lives. We pray for your discernment in your word for us, the word of God, which we are not studying tonight, but we pray that the Holy Spirit that dwells within us might help give us the energy and the zeal to study your Koine Greek. We pray that it might not seem confusing to us and that we might have the diligence to put the work in that is needed for us to master anything that we do. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to finish up lesson 5. We're going to be just finishing up on pages 37 and 38. We're going to be looking at the paradigm of the definite article, which is extremely important, by the way. And if any of you seem confused, let me reiterate what we should have learned already. All right? Once we understand what we should have learned already, maybe the confusion will start leaving you once you go back and review lessons 1 through 5, because we have been spending a lot of time there. But as I said before, they are extremely foundational. And once you get these lessons down and you apply them to the scriptures, I'm going to make a recommendation tonight. Also, once you apply these lessons to the scriptures, you're going to start seeing Koine Greek forms like shout out to you from the Greek New Testament. This is what we've gone over so far. We've gone over the alphabet, of course. We've gone over the verbs, and we've gone over the diphthongs already. We also went over the Koine Greek verb system. And then we have gone over two of the declensions in the Koine Greek noun system. And we have been directed to memorize, yes, that is, memorize a number of paradigms. And until you do this, and only you know if you're doing this or not, until you do this, you're not going to be in the proper place to go on, or that is to say, until you at least get comfortable with you know, like, let's say if you had a Greek New Testament and you could compare the Greek forms in there with what you've learned already off the page and be comfortable with that, at least you should be there. So I'll go back and say this, that we looked over the Koine Greek verb system and its two major components, that is the omega conjugation and the mu iota conjugation. And see, these are extremely foundational. And then we went over some paradigms. Those are the endings, the suffix endings that we should all be writing down. And let me just say this to you, that you really should have two notebooks at least. And if you haven't done this, well, then only you know that. But you know, I've done this. Not totally completely, but I have done this, and I am doing this, and I know the value of it. That is to say, when we write down these paradigms and we begin to become familiar with them, the confusion starts to leave, because you just burn them in your brain so much. That's what I said last time, that they become familiar to you, and then Then what occurs is when you start looking at an interlinear, you start understanding that you're looking at Koine Greek verbs and Koine Greek nouns. And now tonight we're going to look into the very important Koine Greek definite article paradigm. And what's going to happen is this, and I'll point out to you that actually, if you understand the case and the number of the Koine Greek definite article around Koine Greek other forms in a Koine Greek sentence, it'll help you identify the nouns and the verbs just by the definite article being there, if that makes sense to you. It does make sense. So these things actually work together. Now, let me just do this before before we get into the definite article on page 37. Turn to page 36. And last time we the nouns of the first declension. Nouns are declined. That means they're changed in order to portray different meanings. And they're changed by suffix endings. And I think what everybody's afraid of, and what everybody doesn't want to get off their butts and do, is everybody doesn't want to get off their butts, and they don't want to memorize these suffix endings. And I think that's the reason why we might be confused, because we don't want to put the work in. That's why I'm going to say that I'm almost convinced of that. And let's just look at page 35. Now we notice that there are five paradigms that we're supposed to memorize. Okay, you notice that there's three feminine noun paradigms of the first declension in the gray box, and then there are two masculine nouns of the first declension to memorize the endings. Like let's say for day or. Hemeras, or hemera. It's hemera, hemeras, hemerai, and hemeran. Now, you could say, well, that's boring, and that's a pain in the butt. And then you could, for glory, it's doxa, doxes, doxe, and doxan. And you could say, well, again, that's boring. And then there's three other paradigms there. For one more feminine noun and two more masculine nouns. Well, turn the page and see what should really kick you in the butt is this: is that if you read if you go down to the middle of the page and you read things like this, the three classes of nouns discussed above compromise first declension nouns in the New Testament. Excluding proper names, there are 310 New Testament nouns that follow the paradigm of hemera. Oh, really? It goes on to say, nouns that follow the paradigm of doxa, there's 22 of them. And there's 191 nouns that follow the paradigm of phoné. Oh, really? So if you turn back the page to page 35, all you would have to do is you would have to learn three paradigms of feminine nouns. You'd have to learn the paradigm of day or herema. You'd have to learn the paradigm of doxa or glory. And you'd have to learn the paradigm of voice or phoné. And then, you know, you would know 523 nouns, you would be able to identify 523 nouns in the New Testament. And let me see, let's count to 523. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, etc., etc. You'd be able to identify 523 nouns in the Koine Greek New Testament by learning, by getting off your butts and learning three paradigms of the first declension nouns. And I could say to everybody, what do you want? Because that should be something that should set you back and say, you know, I can learn 523 nouns, or I can at least start to attempt to identify them in the Greek just by learning 12 endings. Well, actually, you'd have to learn, you'd have to learn 24 endings, because you'd have plural. You'd have the plural. So learning 24 endings, you could identify 523 nouns in the Greek New Testament. Now, can you all do that? Yeah. Do you want to do that? That's up to you. But your mind, being sons of God, should say, hey, I can be able, just by that little work, if nothing else, I could challenge you to say, hey, memorize the feminine nouns of the first declension, the endings. All you'd have to do is you'd have to memorize 24 endings. That's all you'd have to do. And then I would say, hey, just leisurely go through the Greek New Testament and look at it. And are you doing that? Well, that only you know. But if you're not, then you're not getting off your rear. That's what's going on here. So we've learned also too. We learned that there are masculine nouns of the second declension, of which you know there's a few paradigms to learn. But then, with that being added, you would learn 635 nouns of the New Testament and all of their uses. By the way, 635 nouns you could learn if you want. Now let's count up to 635. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, come on. 635 nouns you would know. You would be able to recognize in the Koine Greek New Testament. 635 nouns by learning maybe 30 endings or so. 36 endings. So I know all of you can do it. And is there any confusion there? No. Because even if you knew nothing else and you memorized these for first declension noun endings, you could say, hey, I can identify 635 Koine Greek nouns. And even if that's all you knew, just think about what you know. And going back of what we learned before, like on page 26, we have nouns of the second declension. All right, and on page 26 and 20, those are nouns of the second declension, which happen to be nouns that are even more abundant in the New Testament than first declension nouns. And all you have to do to identify masculine and neuter second declension nouns is to memorize 4 sixings, and you would be able to identify second declension nouns of the New Testament, which are used more abundantly. You know, so maybe you'd be able to identify 1,500 nouns in the New Testament by learning paradigms of the nouns that we've studied so far in two lessons. So what I'm saying to you is this, is I'm saying that the gold is there. It's just a matter of, you know, and you're all adults, you're all smart enough, no doubt about it. It's just a matter of how much you want to put into this. So how much you put into this dictates how much whining you do or how much whining you don't do. And so I think that the glory, that the meat of what you can learn is there. You just have to want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, well, then you're going to get nothing. That's what you're going to get. But you know, we're going to be teaching this, and what I'd recommend is that you get notebooks and that you write these paradigms, and you write these paradigms down, and then what you do is you go into the Greek New Testament and you just peruse it. You just look through it. You don't have any pressure on you. You don't have anybody holding an axe or a hammer over you. And you go in there and you start perusing around the Greek New Testament and see what you can see. Now, going back to the Greek verb system, we know that Koine Greek verbs are inflected. And we know that we learned on page 12 that the paradigm of six endings gives you a really good start in understanding the number of person in the Greek verb system. Now, and it used the example of to have. And then you learn that there were two major divisions according to page 17 in the Koine Greek verb system, the omega conjugation and the mu iota conjugation. Well, by far the omega conjugation, which has to do with the endings that let's see, you would learn on I don't have the page here. Oh yeah, you would learn on page, let's say, number 18. You would have a good hold on a lot of the verbs in the New Testament. And then you learn the conjugation for the Koine Greek verb I am. Now, how important, and that's on page 22, write these things down. Write them down. Even if you sat down and you went to page 22 and you wrote down the paradigm for I am there. I am, you are, he is, we are, you are, they are. Do you know, let me say this. How important is the Greek form I am? You are. Well, who is the great I am? You know, and what I could do, which would take more work on my part, but I'd like to be able to do it, is when we start learning these things, I can start putting scriptures so that you can actually see. Like, let's say, I might do this periodically for simple things like this paradigm for I am. Eimi, a, estin, esmen, esta, estin, acin. And I could bring out six scriptures to find this, but I feel like I would be getting ahead of myself, or possibly ahead of the author. So I kind of hesitate to do that. But I think that would be that might be a good thing to do, so that you can actually see that you can make progress in what we're doing here. So after saying that, which I'm sure you're all you were all really glad to hear all of that. I'm going to turn it to page 37. But what I want to do is I want to promote the fact that, if you slumber around with this stuff, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get stumbling and mumbling and stumbling around. And, like let's say if you were paying me for this course to do this, well, maybe you wouldn't be stumbling around as much. Or if this was for a degree, you wouldn't be doing that either. If in fact you are, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. So that's up to you. But it's all a matter of priority, what you want to do. So let's turn to the all important paradigm for the definite article in the Koine Greek system. And we're going to finish off of lesson 5, pages 37 and 38, and then we're going to go through some vocabulary. And vocabulary is very important because of this. Maybe to get a little confusion out of the way, is so far you've learned verbs and you've learned two types of nouns. And then there's going to be definite articles that go along with these verbs and nouns. And there are they're in different genders. And so you're going to have to write that down. You're going to have to write those down, and you're going to have to become familiar with verbs, and you're going to have to become familiar with nouns. You're going to have to become familiar with what gender they're in, because that's very important. So before we begin with the definite article, let's go back once. Let's go back again, just to show you what I'm talking about. Okay, you notice, let's turn to page 8. You'll notice some vocabulary there. Well, you'll notice that vocabulary isn't specified. There's nothing specified, whether it's a verb, a noun, that is, whether it's what gender it's in. It's just a number of Greek forms there. And, that's all well and good. And, I wrote those down, and we can have... we can understand the meaning of those forms, but probably what I would do is I would start your vocabulary notebook, which I know you all have, with verbs, and we know what they are specifically. Like if we turn to page number 23, turn to page number 23. We notice that there are verbs listed there under A, and these are present and future active indicative principal parts of omega conjugated verbs. So these verbs, which there's about 20 of them or so there, are omega conjugated verbs. And again, those are that's the major type of verbs in the Koine Greek New Testament. And then we have one mu iota verb there, ami, which is very important. The mu iota verb meaning I am. And then you have some adverbs, me and u, which are negatives, not and not. And, again, this builds on the fact that we know what present and future indicative is, and we went over that a number of times. So you could list these verbs down, and you could write a heading verbs, and then you could write omega conjugated verbs, and you have a lot of them. And then you have one mu iota verb, and you write that down, and you get used to them. That's what you do. And then we turn the page as far as vocabulary is concerned. So what I'm saying is this: you have to get two notebooks, and you have to start writing. You have to have notebooks that deal with paradigms, and you have to have notebooks that deal with vocabulary. Okay, turn to page 31 and see what this is doing. Is I'm trying to organize things in so you won't be confused as much. What we find on page 31 are not verbs. The vocabulary, they're not verbs. They're nouns. Now, are they nouns of the first declension or second? Well, they're nouns of the second declension. Are they masculine, feminine, or neuter? Well, they're masculine so far when they start out here. So what you should do is you should sit down and have a part of your notebook nouns. Nouns of the second declension, nouns of the first declension. And then you should have the gender, masculine, feminine, or neuter. And then you should write down these nouns and get used to them. And they have a definite article in front of them, by the way. And this is how you see them in the Koine New Testament. And believe me, the more you write them down, the more you look at them, the more you look at your New Testament, everything's going to start popping out at you. You're going to say, hey, that's not a verb. That's a noun. That's angelos. That means angel. It's a second declension noun. It's in the masculine form. Yeah, believe it or not, I think you can do that. And the only way you can do that is by doing the work. You turn the page to page 32, and you find that there are neuter nouns of the second, and then a couple of feminine nouns there, and then some verbs and some conjugations. Well, what you have to do is in your notebook, you write down nouns, second declension, masculine, neuter, feminine. And then these are additional verbs to the omega conjugation. You write those down. You get used to them. You look in your New Testament. That's what you do. You could say, well, I don't have time for all this. Well, you know, I got other stuff I got to do. You know, I got kids. I got a wife. I got a husband. I've got, you know, I've got this and that. Well, you know, there's not too much we can do about that. That's something that you're going to have to make time to do. But I can say this as being a lowly, wretched person on earth, that I have a lot of time I use. That I'm not at work, and I'm a dental in business. I have to take care of two buildings, mortgages, tax payments, patients, payroll, keeping places up, you name it. And I have a lot of time. I have time that that I burn away watching boxing matches. You know, whatever it might be for you, you have a lot of time. And so when it comes down to the excuse of we don't have the time, I don't go for that. I don't believe it. Why is that? Because, you know, I guess I can say that I'm at least as busy as you are, and I have the time. You know, so that's what I'm basing that on. So let's turn to lesson number five. Well, lesson number we learn nouns, not verbs. We learn nouns of the first declension. And we learn nouns, if you turn to the vocabulary on pages 38 and 39 and 40, you'll find that there are a lot of nouns listed. There are nouns of the first declension in the feminine form. After three different types of paradigms, after the heimeta type, as you see, and on page 39, after the doxa type, and after the phoné type. So now we have another group of nouns. All of these nouns so far. Then we have masculine nouns of the mathetes type of the first declension, and then on page 40 we have masculine nouns of the neos, or the young man type. And so then, if you took all of these nouns that we've been given so far in these first five lessons, and you listed them as to whether they're first or second declension, you listed them as far as whether they're masculine, neuter, or feminine, and started familiarizing yourselves with them. So I could say to you, I could say, as all of us being brilliant adults, which we are, I could say, hey, can we hammer these first 41 pages into our brains? The answer is yes. The matter of fact is how much work we want to do. Do we want to do it, or don't we want to do it? And see, I'm saying all of these nasty things tonight because I say these things to myself. So if I can say these things to me, I guess I can say these things to you, and you're far enough away where I can get in my car and take off if you get, you know, upset with me. But I know that this is what it takes. You know, this is what it's going to take. And I know that all of you out there, with help of this study class, can memorize and get to know these first 40 pages very, very well. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time in them than I think I wanted to. But like the author said on page 40, if we get these first five lessons down, you're going to look at the Koine Greek New Testament like you never had before. The thing of it is to put the work in, to look it over. Open up the Greek New Testament. Look it over. You've got to do this. Otherwise, you know, otherwise it's going to be like going bowling once and then expecting to be on a really good team. You know what I'm saying? Go bowling once, you shoot about a 97, and you say, well, I'm not too good at bowling. Well, of course you're not. You know, you got to go You got to go shoot about 100 lanes, 100 games first, or 300 or 500, you know. So, having said that, we've gone over Greek verbs and Greek nouns, and I believe this, that Professor Black chose the most widely used verbs and nouns for us to get used to first. You know, so, like stated earlier, you can literally know over 1,000 nouns in the New Testament just by learning the endings in lessons 3, 4, and 5. You know, and that should be exciting. That should be exciting to all of us. Well, let's add to that. Let's add to that tonight. And let's add the fact of the paradigm of the definite article. And all we're doing is we're dealing with four cases: the nominative, the genitive, the dative, and the accusative. And what we're going to look at tonight is going to be awesome in the fact that these definite articles are used in only one case as far as the masculine ones, the feminine ones, and the neuter ones. I'll show you that. We'll read this. And what this should do is if you get used to these definite articles, you can actually tell the case of the word that it modifies. You can tell the case that it's in and the gender that it's in by the definite article. So it's actually, what I'm saying is, the Koine Greek identifies itself while you're studying it, while you're reading it. And I'll go on to try to bring that to light a little bit. Let's read page 37. The paradigm of the definite article. The paradigm of the Greek definite article may now be set out in full. The feminine article follows the paradigm of phoné. So if you know the endings for the second declension nouns, after the phoné, that is on the previous page of A, A's, A and Ain, you'll know the endings of the feminine definite article. Let's go on. It says, while the masculine and neuter inflections of the article follow the masculine and neuter paradigms of the second declension introduced in lesson 4. So, if you know the endings back on, what is that, in lesson 4, which have to do with masculine and neuter nouns, if you know those endings, you're going to know the masculine and neuter definite article. Okay? With the exception of the nominative singular. The root of the definite article is a rough breathing in the nominative masculine and feminine. And what does that mean? Then it goes on to say plural and tau elsewhere. Well, since the article provides the basic declension patterns for nouns, its mastery will assure rapid control of much of the Greek noun system. All right, so what I'm saying is that the author just said that once you start mastering these definite articles, you'll start seeing they modify the nouns, and you'll start mastering the noun patterns because of the definite article, because they go together. Okay? Now, what he said about the rough breathing is like, let's say if you took the feminine singular of the definite article in that gray box, well, you'll see that it's hey, tase, tay, and tane. But without the tau in there, it's rough breathing. If you look at the masculine, look over to the left, the masculine definite articles, it's ha, with rough breathing, to, toe, tom. Okay, but the rough breathing was over the nominative masculine singular, ha. And that's not ho, it's ha. Omicron, ha. To, toe, tom. Feminine, hey, taste, tay, tane. And then the neuter. Again, the neuter and the masculine endings can be put together with the masculine and neuter second declension noun endings that you learned in lesson four. And see, I'm going to go over this and over this. And what I expect you guys to do is what would it take? What would it take? Let me see. What would it take for each of us to get a notebook and to write down, you know, these paradigms are in these gray boxes, okay? Let's say we went back and we went back over these five lessons and we wrote down all of the paradigm endings of these gray boxes. How long would that take you? An hour or two? Okay, so can you do that? Well, I'm going to expect that you're going to do that. And then in your vocabulary, I'm going to expect that you get a vocabulary, notebook, and you write down the vocabulary, whether they're verbs or nouns, and you write down what declension they're in and what gender they're in. And just look at the endings, write them down, and at least do that. And maybe you'll write them more. You know, but then after a while, I think that you should look into at least an interlinear. Just look at it. You don't have to be thinking that you should be a professor or something. You just look at it. How long can you, how many hours does it take to sit down and look at a Koine Testament or an interlinear for an hour or two a week? Do you have that time? Yeah, you do. You have that time. Are you gonna use that time for that? That's up to you. But you have an hour or two to sit down and look at a Koine Greek New Testament or an interlinear, an hour or two, out of 24 times, or out of 7 times 24. You got it, I got it, you got it. So, now looking at the neuter definite article, it reads, ta, tu, to, ta. And for the plural, in the masculine, it's hoi, ton, tois, tu. In the feminine, it's hi. Alpha iota is I. That's a diphthong. Hi. Tone. Tase. Tas. In the neuter, it's ta, tone, tois, ta. And let's keep on reading. Okay. A preposition. Let's a preposition with one case. A preposition is a word used with a noun. Actually, what I did is I made a mistake, and I said that that definite articles follow after a particular case. Well, I was talking about prepositions, but well, you'll see. Let's keep on going. A preposition is a word used with a noun or a pronoun in order to clarify the relationship of the noun to some other word in a sentence, as in, I go into the church. Prepositions are always located before the noun, hence the name preposition. Awesome. In English, the noun or pronoun is always in the accusative case, though it is only with pronouns that there is any difference in form. We say about her, not about she. In Koine Greek, numerous prepositions take a single case, but others take two or even three cases. In addition, most prepositions have both a core meaning, general meaning, and a number of extended meanings. This lesson introduces four Greek prepositions that are used with a single case. All right, so we're going to learn about four prepositions. So, after we learn about these prepositions, this is what you should know, and this is what we're going to be hammering on, and I'm going to hammer this. We're going to, in subsequent lessons, I might read out these paradigms, and when you're sitting there, I'm going to expect you to pronounce them. You know, even though mundane. And then we're going to look at either the verbs or the nouns that are associated with these endings, and we're going to pronounce them. and we're going to hammer this maybe for another couple of three studies. So after we get done hammering this, and after you get done with your notebooks, you should be able to know the definite articles fairly well. You should be able to know prepositions. You should be able to know a number of noun-ending paradigms. You should have looked over a number of nouns that are used widely in the New Testament. You should know about the Greek verb system a little bit. You should know some Greek verbs. You should know how to form the future of Greek verbs. That's with the sigma. We went over that a couple of times. And you should have that down pretty good. And what I'm going to say is this, is that if we stop there and we just went over the first five chapters of this text for the next 4 years, hammering it, bring it home, you would be well and beyond knowledge in the Koine from where you started. Well and beyond. You'd be able to go into the Koine Greek New Testament, and you'd be able to recognize things, possibly identify things, and possibly read some things. You know, but we have 21 lessons after that. You know, but I think what's happening is this, is that I suppose this can be scary, but on the other hand, it can be really cool in the fact that you can start getting used to this. And I'm going to say to you that once you start getting used to this, that's going to get into your blood. You're going to say, hey, you're going to say, I know about Greek verbs and I know about Greek nouns. And, you know, I want to learn more. Is there more to learn? Well, yeah, there's Greek adjectives. Oh, really? Well, let me try to identify those. All right? And, you know, maybe what you could do is you could look up Koine Greek verbs that have been gone over in this lesson. Look them up. Let me see, where do I find them in the Koine Greek New Testament? And see them in there. See Ami, I am, the great I am. See that in there. Look at that in there. Look at apostolos. Oh, apostle, yeah, a second declension noun. Hey, you can find that in the Greek New Testament all over the place. Hey, you know what that is? It's a second declension noun. It has a definite article, ha apostolos. You know, I mean, start looking at that. And see, as you start doing that, and then, hey, you're going to learn definite articles. Well, that's found all over the place in there. And then tonight, you're going to be learning four prepositions. And by the way, these prepositions identify cases. Yeah, let's take a look. Look at this once. And this is really cool, actually. You'll find these prepositions all over the place. And remember, I'll bring back the thing I hammered home before. Just learning these endings of these nouns in two lessons here, you'll be able to identify over 1,000 nouns in the Koine Greek New Testament. And again, I could say, what do you want? It's there. Take it. So let's look at prepositions. In the middle of the page, a preposition is a word used with a noun. We went over this in order to clarify the relationship of the noun to some other word in a sentence. As I go into the church, prepositions are always located on. Hence the name preposition. I think that's awesome. In English, the noun or pronoun is always in the accusative case. That's the case of reality. Though it is only with pronouns that there is any difference in form. We say about her, not about she. In Koine Greek, numerous prepositions take a single case, but others take two or even three cases. In addition, most prepositions have both a core meaning and a number of extended meanings. This lesson introduces four Greek prepositions that are used with a single case. And look at this. I mean, just look at this and think about the sheer numbers of forms you're going to be seeing in your Greek New Testament. Okay, so far, you should be able to identify at least 1,000 nouns and you know, a couple hundred verbs. Now look at the first preposition, apo. Apo has 645 occurrences in the Koine Greek New Testament. Turn the page. Ice. That occurs 1,753 times in the Koine Greek New Testament. Ek, 915 times in the Koine Greek New Testament. And N, 2,713 times. So what is that? That is 5,000, almost 6,000 Greek forms you'll be able to identify by learning these prepositions. What do you want? And furthermore, these prepositions are in particular cases alone. Take a look at this. Apo occurs 645 times in the Koine Greek New Testament, and it always takes the genitive case. That's the case of possession. It is most frequently rendered from, away from, or of. Example, I received the book from the brother. Apo to Aldelfo. Aldelfu, pardon me. Apa to Adelfu. And that is from the brother, or actually the book is the book of the brothers. So apo is always used in the genitive. That's a real excellent, simple rule that you can remember. And every time you see apa in the New Testament, 645 times, you can say, hey, I know that's in the genitive. Turn the page. Ice occurs 1,753 times in the Koine Greek New Testament, and it always takes the accusative case. That's incredible. It goes on to say, it is most frequently rendered, that's its core meaning, or to, or for, or in. For example, I walked into the house. Ice ton oikon. Ice is the preposition, in or into. It's used 1,753 times, and it's always in the accusative. Every time you see ice, it's in the accusative. That's awesome. Down the page, ek, 915 times. It always takes the genitive case. Amazing. So ek and apa always take the genitive case, and that's over 1,500 occurrences of a preposition in the Koine Greek New Testament. That's awesome. Ek, it most frequently is rendered out of, from, or by. Example, I went out of the temple. Ek tu hairu. Ek contains the alomor of ex before a vowel. Well, you don't have to worry about that. As in ex o. Oiku, out of a house. Well, that's something I suppose you should know. N occurs 2,713 times in a Greek New Testament, and it always takes the dative case. That's incredible. That's awesome. So going back, apa always takes the genitive case, the case of a possession. Ice always takes the accusative case, the case of present reality. Ek always takes the genitive case. And N always takes the dative case, the case of the definite article. That's incredible. It is most frequently rendered in. That is, N is rendered in, or within, or by, or with, or among. Example, I got lost in the crowd. N to aklo. N is sometimes used to express impersonal agency. So, that having been said, very important that you learn the paradigms of the definite article, and you learn these prepositions and you learn what case they're in. Extremely important. Once you get these things down, and once you start getting used to them, listen, you have knowledge now. You have knowledge that's real. You have knowledge that you can use. You have to want to use it, and you have to do it. You have to get down, spend the time. You're going to have to want to use it. You're going to have to do it. Because the knowledge is there. And it isn't like learning nuclear physics. It's not. It's not. It's mundane somewhat. Yeah, I'll grant you that. But there should be a zeal behind this because you're learning God's New Testament. You know, you're not learning the Iliad and the Odyssey or some malarkey like that. You're learning God's New Testament. You know, so then we should have a zeal. Nuclear physics is somewhat easier. Well, that's awesome, Gary. Just Gary. He's always one to give us the positive, at least for me. Yeah, okay. You know, but really, and I do know this, that it takes grunt work. Okay, it's the grunt work that we want to avoid. I know that because I want to avoid it too. It's the grunt work that we just don't want to do. We just don't want to sit down, and we just don't want to learn these things. I know that. I know how you feel, but that's no excuse. You know, that's no excuse for you. So you're going to have to get your notebooks. You're going to have to, Ronnie, you're going to open that wallet with your that pry bar you got from the fire company, and you're going to have to go out. And you're going to have to do the grunt work in writing this down. Writing this down. You guys all spend time writing something or other in your life, right? I know all of you do. You write down a lot of things, whether it's work or forms or recipes or whatever it is. The Word of God checks to Dennis. You write a lot of things, and you can write these things. It's getting over that hump of fear that you can't learn this, and you can. It takes getting used to. Like learning chess. Does anybody know how to play chess? Well, I learned how to play chess when I was like 6. No. Well, you know, you just do it. And I remember playing chess with my buddy at his grandpa's house every Saturday. Did I lose a lot? Yeah. But after a while, I got good, you know, because, you know, we liked doing it. Hey, it was a gas. It was, it was something fun to do, you know. So, you know, you can look at yourselves this way, is that you're going to be learning a lost language, too, in this world. So not only is the knowledge of the Lord lost, also the Koine Greek is far lost in this world. So, we got a few more minutes here. Let's turn back, and we're going to go through some vocabulary. We're going to go through some verbs, okay? So that. Oh, let me do this first. We're going to turn to page 14. We're going to go through some verbs, and so in your notebook in your vocabulary notebook of nouns and verbs and adjectives and definite articles and everything, you're going to put, you're going to write these verbs that we're going to look over tonight on page 23. All right, and then we'll end, and we're just going to keep on going in these first 5 lessons for a couple of more times, if that's okay with you guys, because this is really important. And maybe what I can, Greek is not a spectator sport. Maybe what I can do is I can try to associate some New Testament, actual New Testament, with some of these nouns and verbs. So that might be helpful. I might try to do that, just so that it makes it more interesting. You know, but I didn't go through all of these lessons, so I don't know what the madness of the of Professor Black is, but I think that we can look at some New Testament scriptures in the as we go, like next time, and I think that'll make you feel better. You know, exercises at the end are helpful. Well, I could say this. Okay, for next time then, which will be, when is next time? Next time's going to be after the conference in Peru. So we got the 14th, we got the conference. 14th is today, we got the conference on the 4th, 5th, and 6th, right? 3rd. You know, we're looking at... okay, we're probably looking at the third week of June. All right, the third weekend of June. What? About 24th week. What? Second. Okay. Hold on a second. Because what we could say is we can be responsible for the exercises at the end of chapter 5. Why don't we do that? Okay. So, Gary, Hawaii 4.
Yeah. We don't care.
Oh, hold.
Okay, so there's the first one.
Yeah.
The second one, third one. That's that continuing education.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a break. The next is the 25th of June. Are we home? The 25th of June, everybody and his brother and mother should be home, right? Yeah. Okay, the 25th of June is the next, that's a little over a month, and you'll be responsible for the exercises on pages 40 and 41.
No,
all right? But I think everybody should be around on the 25th, all right? And what we're going to do for maybe a month or two after that is we're going to be hammering lessons 1 through 5. Lessons 1 through 5. Lessons 1 through 5. Let's turn to page 14. Okay, well, you'll be gone in June. You'll be here in June, though, Gary. You'll be here in June. You'll be here in June, and you're going to be... You're gonna have to have like we expect you to have notebooks full of this stuff by then, Gary. Okay. 25th birthday. Does she want to study point A? Turn to. Oh, okay. Real good then. Real good, Gary. Let's turn to page 14. Remember tenses. I just want to read this again because we should keep this in memory as far as even our brains are concerned. The present, future, imperfect, aorist or aorist, perfect, pluperfect, future perfect. Because as time goes on, we're going to be learning more about the imperfect and the perfect tense as we go on. So we should know, at least in the English, what these mean. As far as loving is concerned, the present tense, I love. Future tense, I will love. That's easy. Imperfect tense, I was loving. Aorist tense, I loved. And remember, I told you that aorist verbs are extremely important in your calling. Aorist, I loved. Perfect, I have loved. Pluperfect, I had loved. And future perfect, I will have loved. Again, presence, I love. Future, I will love. Imperfect, I was loving. Aorist, I loved. Perfect, I have loved. Pluperfect, I had loved. Future perfect, I will have loved. Read that over a lot. Get the meaning in your mind of what present, future, imperfect, aorist, perfect, pluperfect, and future perfect really means. Really means, so that you can apply the meaning of what you know about them when we study them in the Koine. Alright, we're going to look over some verbs, and then we're going to end for tonight. Some verbs, not nouns. Some verbs, not definite articles. Some verbs, not adjective, not adjectives. These are verbs. On page 23. They're in the present and future active indicative. They are, we start out here with omega conjugated verbs that are for the most part found in the Greek New Testament. They constitute most of the verbs in the Koine Greek New Testament. Ago, future, axo, I lead. Axo, I will lead. Akuo, I hear. Akuso, I will hear. Baptizo, I baptize. Baptiso, I will baptize. Blepo, I see. Blepso, I will see. Grapho, I write. Grapso, I will write. Didasco, I teach. Didaxo, I will teach. Doxadzo, I glorify. Doxaso, I will glorify. Hetoimatso, I prepare. Hetoimaso, I will prepare. Heko, I have. Hekso, I will have. Therapuo, I heal. Therapuso, I will heal. Keruso, I preach. Keruxo, I will preach. Luo, I loose. Luso, I will loose. Patho, I trust in. Peso, I will trust in. Pempo, I send. Pempso, I will send. Pisteo, I believe. Pisteso, I will believe. Sozo, I save. So, I will save. Mu, iota, conjugated verb, very important. Ami, I am. And then we have the adverbs me and u, meaning not, with the non-indicative moods, and not with the indicative mood. And what we'll do for the upcoming weeks is we will go through these vocabularies, whether they be verbs, whether they be nouns, whether they be second declension, whether they be omega conjugations or mu iota conjugated verbs. We'll go over the definite articles. We'll say them. We'll try to pronounce them correctly. And next time, as I say them, I want you to say them aloud, sitting there at your computer. As I say them, I want you to say them aloud. And we're going to go over these and over these and over these and say them, and I want you to write them. I want you to get lessons 1 through 5 down while you're on your cruise ship. While you're on your cruise ship having your pineapples or whatever, I want you to write in your vocabulary as you're soaking in the sun while I'm taking out molars, write down in your notebooks this vocabulary and these paradigms. Great. You guys should have at least two notebooks. One notebook for paradigms and the other and paradigms and far as definite articles are concerned also. And then you should have a vocabulary notebook. And you know, this is only going to be for your good. And the more you do this, the more it's going to be for your good. Thanks for being with us tonight. You know, as far as Gary's concerned, let me see, I'm just talking to my wife here for a second. We're at the conference on the 4th. I got to go to a continuing ed for my job on the 18th. That's in July? The continuing ed? Okay, is everybody around on the 18th of June? Give me a yay or a nay. Where are you, Gary? You're always smokes. Well, I don't really know what to do. I mean, you know, holy smokes, Ron's in China. Everybody, don't worry about me. You know what? Well, I'll tell you. I'll talk for myself. Matter of fact, let me do that right now. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Oh, fine, pretty good. How are you today? Oh, what? Okay, will Tony be able to open the room? Well, I'll tell you what. Yes, okay. Well, what we're going to do then is I'm going to leave it on the 25th of June. And pretty much you guys know what we're going to be doing. I'm just going to be hammering home lessons 1 through 5. So you know what I'm going to be doing. I'll do this for the summer, let's say. And then when September rolls around, we're going to get into adjectives. How's that? So by the time that August rolls around, we would have spent a year on the first 5 lessons. But I'm going to say this, that if you don't, well, yeah, you should have a real good handle at least on how you can study these first 5 lessons. By the time that summer ends, you'll be able to know and learn the first 5 lessons yourself. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So for the next number of weeks, we're going to be hammering lessons 1 through 5. Next, on the 25th, everybody that's here is going to be responsible for the exercises at the end of lesson 5. And you know who's going to be here? Nobody. So, man, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to say about you people. What am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to do these exercises by myself, to myself, with myself? Should I take a picture of myself? Or have a camera on myself? But, I'll quit it. Alright then, I'm sorry. But, alright then. Well, I'll unlock the mic, but you got an idea what we're doing. And I think with these lessons, you can get down these first 5 lessons, and you'll have a real good base. You know. So I hope that if there was any confusion, I hope I cleared it up a little bit. But so far, we should know about verbs, about some nouns, definite articles, prepositions. The alphabet, and how to identify these things in Aquinae Greek. So that's pretty good. So thanks a lot, you folks.